Do you remember way back when Wonder Girls opened for Justin Bieber?
Yes.
At the NRG Stadium.
And I literally remember being like, okay, so all these people who don't know what the fuck Wonder Girls is just gonna see Wonder Girls and I'm not there?
That's equivalent to like, okay guys, well, on Ariana's tour, the Cheetah Girls is going to be opening. That is fucking legendary. What the, you know that video of Kanye, what the fuck does Gaga know about photos?
It's like, Gaga's the creative director of Polaroid. What the fuck does she know about cameras? Coca na wada! I'm Alcheska.
And call me an island boy the way that I love a coconut cream pie. Clarence Angela. And you're watching Asian Glow Podcast. On the topic of coconuts and like coconut water and coconut cream pies. Today we're taking it back to the islands and we're getting grounded today. And in Lou.
Okay.
In Lou.
Who's in Lou?
And why are we in him?
In the Lou.
In Lou of two episodes ago, or maybe a few episodes ago, where we were talking about advice. We were like, wait, you guys actually low-key liked it. And I was like, well, that's amazing. I didn't know that we could give any good advice.
Yeah, I didn't know y'all had for real emotions. I thought everyone was just like, gaga, gaga, Bangtan's titties.
The way that the episode came out for me, like, I was like, when it went live, I was like, I feel like I just shat on the mic and said, guys, here's shat casserole.
Maybe with a side of dislaw. Yeah.
Here's a plate of coochie casserole with a side of dislaw, smothered in fish sauce. Pride month and then AAPI month is like back to back. I was like, you know what, let's just keep it going because I feel like a lot of us are one, existential, two, want to learn all the time, and three, who doesn't like feeling like a student? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So we're going to go into another like advice session today. So like if you're listening to this at work, headphones on,
seatbelt on, hands on the wheel, white knuckles, and if you're at work, quit. I think I said that the last time.
And like, I mean, yeah, we just want you guys to like, you know, have snack, you know, put this on in the background, yeah, or maybe like, you know, build a Lego set while you listen to today's episode. That's really cute.
So cute.
I would say like you could also make out with someone. We are very pro sex here at the Glow Gang headquarters.
Glow Gang basement. Yes, we are. Absolutely.
So if you guys
want to
like, you know, touch on each other during this episode too, you know, you're getting a lot of stuff done. Two birds, one stone.
Exactly.
You're getting You're getting this hit.
Okay.
And you're getting this hit. Yeah.
And if your man was the one
in the ear and dit in the puh.
If your man was the one that suggested you put this on, he's gay.
Shall we?
We shall.
I tried to refrain as much as possible from reading the comments because, you know, let's just be for real here. K-pop fans are crazy.
That is true.
But I did definitely, like, read some of the comments. I saw one that was like, oh, we apologize if you've ever felt so cornered into, like, a genre of K-pop or whatever. And I was like,
I saw that one too.
That was wonderful to read.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think it was the same comment or a different comment that was like, you should never feel like you have to only talk about K-pop to this audience.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, shit, like,
no, like, I was like, you know what, like, genuinely, that, like, not to be on some corny shit and like some fucking, you know, on the nose shit, but like it was very nice to feel like, oh, the truth will set you free, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
we said our truth and then like it is what it is. Yeah. And like everyone was like, yeah, no, this is wonderful, like we hope you guys don't feel like you're cornered into this, because like the last thing we want to do is be inauthentic. And I think what was so confusing about it was like we are very authentic in like our fanboy fangirl experience.
Yes.
From the get-go. I mean, we were just talking about music from Disney Channel and like, yeah, we've been, yeah, fanboys. Yeah. But I think where it was hard was like, wait, we are being authentic, but we want to share almost like a different part of our brain, and like we also want to make sure that, you know, if this podcast is about like creating a community, like a community about K-pop is kind of just like the initial glue.
Yeah.
But like I feel like the things that actually do matter in life, like let's be so for real, like none of us will die if our K-pop idols like go away.
Yeah. You know, there's so much more to us than K-pop, even though that is such a big piece of us, and I think it was just like really nice to see that people were appreciative of us being so honest and like were kind of being like, oh, actually this helped me like while I was like studying for exams, or like this helped me talk to my mom about like XYZ. So it was really nice.
Yeah, and I mean, like I'm not gonna be like be on some high horse here. Like I think in the beginning I was like, I don't know if I'm in the place for advice, and like I don't know.
I still think that we're not like your therapist.
No,
like,
we absolutely are not. We will never
be your therapist. It's more like
big sister.
Big sister.
Big fucking chunga sister gives you big juicy advice.
Yeah, kind of like that. Oh my god, it's literally scary.
On some like real fucking like real genuine chunga shit, like.
That makes me think it's not genuine.
Some like real leather chungus shit.
Oh, okay.
Some genuine leather chungus shit.
Oh, shit. Not faux. Yeah,
no jokes.
Not faux.
Genuine leather chungus.
Okay.
What you know about genuine leather chungus?
Patent it. I got it.
Like, low-key, like, a lot of podcasts that are unprofessional, like, unprofessional therapist advice, like...
Yeah.
Have genuinely, like, saved my life in terms of, like... I wouldn't say saved my life, but saved my sanity at times, you know?
Me too.
Like, I really do credit Emma Chamberlain with a lot of, like, my perspective on life growing up. And, like, I think when I forget that because I'm growing up and learning things, the things that I'm learning are not necessarily the same things that you're learning and the same things that, you know, the thousands of you guys are learning.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was a bit almost, like, selfish for me to keep those learnings to myself because I feel like in the same way that, you know, you guys support us, like, genuinely, I understand that there is something that we want to give back, you know, like whether that's like a giggle or like some sort of advice. Like,
yeah,
I completely understand that. And I honestly kind of like apologize for like, I have so many reflections on my own and I feel like even if they're not fully fleshed out, the conversation of like even thinking about those is something that was worth sharing. And like,
of course, because like whenever we have, because I assume that, like, we're probably going to do more episodes like this. Because it, like, as much as it helps y'all, it honestly helps us, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, accountability for us, too. Like, I don't like giving you guys advice. And then in my daily life, I don't actually do it.
Yeah.
Because that's giving, like, mega church. It's giving, like, pastor at mega church. And it's giving self-righteous. Like, I'm not into that shit.
Yeah, 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 yeah. We will never be, like, self-righteous and, like...
We'll try not to be. Everyone has self-righteous tendencies.
Yeah, self-righteous moments. But, like, again, we're trying to be the most authentic that we can be on this podcast. And, like, as we grow and, like, learn more stuff about ourselves and, like, just go through different life experiences, I think y'all deserve to hear about those if you want to learn from them. It's, like, very a la carte stuff, like just take things as they resonate with you.
Yeah, and like as we continue on with this, like everything is all related. Like I know this is sounds stupid, but like if we're talking about serving at a K-pop concert and like being mother on the streets, you can't be mother on the streets if you're not mother in your brain. Okay, so all these questions I kind of like chose based off of like what you guys sent, and then like they kind of hit, like, life, career, dating, family, dating, more dating. You know how it is. Okay, one person asked, how do you put yourself out there so confidently? Do you think you do?
Honestly, I think I've, like, kind of reverted back to, like, being a little introverted and, like, being more to myself.
Do you think New York is a part of that?
I think that New York is bringing out more of me again, which is really nice. Like, it's a feeling that I haven't felt since, like, high school, honestly. I would say that I try to put myself out there by, like, little things like talking to people while waiting for the train or, like, even smiling at someone, like, across the subway or something like that. But yeah, it's still like a journey, honestly, for me.
I think I'm assuming this question comes from like a career standpoint. I'm answering from the point of a career standpoint. But I think like you said, New York has definitely changed my perspective of it. Like recently, I've felt a lot of need to like push beyond it. Like more than ever recently, like I've been rehearsing and like dancing with undeniably very successful dancers. Yeah. And I think there's a choice you make in that moment to be someone who is less than,
yeah,
or to choose to be the part of you that is truly that confident and truly that bitch. You know, mm-hmm, what I'm saying? And I, yeah, think I'm gonna answer this question in almost like three ways. The, yeah, first one is like immediate. Like if you need it at this very second and you need to be confident in this very second, physiologically, one, power pose.
Yes, power pose is something that we learned in high school, and it, yes, was like for like a business club.
It is like evolutionarily wise. That's, yeah, a stupid fucking word to say. Evolutionarily wise.
Actually.
It like to mimic a position where you have achieved greatness.
Yeah.
Which is oftentimes hands on your hips and your, hands on your hips, shoulders back.
Chest up, chin forward or up.
It tricks your brain into thinking that you actually like have achieved something. So like,
yeah,
well, the study was essentially like how the body of the, an Olympic winner stands. If you if you represent that body and kind of, mm-hmm, mimic that body, the experience of your brain is closer to their experience than if you don't do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
then,
yeah,
that's immediate. And then two, or like another immediate like reaction is, there is the book I already finished. I talked about this a million times. If you're feeling the opposite of confident, such as sadness or, you know, in your head.
Yeah.
It is actually not proven that if you talk it out with your friend or like vent about how you feel this way, it is proven that it only
makes you
feel that even more.
Damn.
And it will make you feel it easier as well in the future, because you're like constantly, imagine like you're creating a fold in your brain that just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Yeah. It's actually more beneficial in the moment to immediately like smile, like just smile, like psychotic smile, like, mm, corners of your mouth just like up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, I know that sounds a little dystopian and, yeah, crazy, but I'm telling you this from the perspective of like, if you need it at this very second,
yeah,
go to the bathroom and hold a smile and a power pose for 1 minute and, yeah, you will feel better.
There are so many instances like where I was about to go perform and I like wasn't feeling it, where I would just smile and then people have been like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm going on in like a minute, like, yeah, yeah, I just need to collect myself. And then you go on and like you give the performance that you give.
Exactly.
But honestly, most times it's been like when I walk off, I'm like, oh, it wasn't that bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I think in the same way that your feet will lead you to opportunities and success, mm-hmm, your brain can sometimes do the opposite.
Yeah.
So it's like this, like the bottom of you is moving, but the top of you feels like it's like behind.
Yeah.
And so like when you do a line, literally the chest and, mm-hmm, your neck and your chin all in one place, it's like, okay, I'm one with myself right now. Let's fucking do this.
Yeah.
In terms of the long run, I think something that I've done for this is like, I think a lot of times when people are not confident, or like, let's say, I'm going to talk about it from content creation because that's, mm-hmm, all I really know. I think when someone is mentally super shy, and I'm saying someone is like, this is definitely a talk to myself as well, about, you know, creating content or putting yourself out there in that way, like on the internet or like as a dancer, whatever. A fear, one, is not that you can't do it. It's the fear that you know you can and you're not living up to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one.
Yeah.
So then maybe reframe that, because I think that puts into the center of like disappointment and,
yeah,
like instead of it being like I am this and I need to get here, it is like I am this and I'm only functioning right now at this.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I,
yeah,
know I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a flip of mindset, I think. And I think, like, I'm assuming Gen Z is the one asking this, it's not Gen, mm-hmm, Alpha. And like, and I think my least Gen Z take is, and I've said this a million times, is like, we are too in our head.
That
and
is
I
true.
Think like a wonderful conversation is mental health, but the fact that it's only about mental health and, mm-hmm, and not about getting up and actually doing something,
yeah,
oftentimes bothers me. And I think when you think that you're super not able to do something, I've said this to my friends, like, and I'm a very, like, tough love kind of friend mm-hmm. with my girlies, as you know, and, like, I'm like, this is your ego talking.
Yeah.
Like, if you think that this challenge that you have is so impossible, your ego is involved because mm-hmm. 1,000,001 people are also experiencing this thing.
Yeah.
And you think that your problems are so much worse than everyone else's that you can't get past it. So I think stepping out of yourself for 2 seconds and recognizing the greater picture of this content, you know, making someone laugh, or this is about, you know, my mission of XYZ, of, you know, I think that is a very good way to get out of your own head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your head is really what stops you from being confident.
Yeah.
Because it's the, I mean, you can have any other issue, but every issue is tied to your brain, you know?
Yeah. I think that, like, when you feel like you're at the pinnacle of, like, you're doubting yourself, or, like, if you're like, oh, I really don't want to do this thing, or, like, I really don't want to go meet these new people, that is, like, the exact moment where you should prove yourself wrong and be like, okay, well, now it's just like a battle against myself. Because, like, there's so many times where I've been on, like, my period, or, like, from, like, a physical, like, doubt, like, been on my period and be like, oh my god, I really, really don't want to go hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I should go hang out with my friends, because I can't, like, what am I going to do for the rest of the night? Just sit here and mope and, like, be sad and, like, bleed out? It's like, no, you deserve to go enjoy these, like, wonderful experiences. And, like, for that example specifically, like, there's other people counting on you, and, like, you just need to hold the same weight of respect as to yourself as you do, like, if if other people are depending on you. So it's like, you need to hone in, like, really, really hone in and be like, do I actually want to do this, or am I just going to feed deeper into, like, oh, I really can't, or, like, I just really can't today. Yeah. Don't let yourself spiral.
Like you said, prove yourself wrong. I think I mean, it's situational for everyone. Do you think it's easier to prove yourself wrong or prove yourself right? Because in my brain, I like... Okay, answer the question first, because, like...
Prove myself wrong or prove myself right? I think it's easier to prove myself right to just because, like in that example, if I'm like, I really don't want to do this, and I'm like, okay, then I don't have to do it. And then I'm like, dang, I just proved myself
right. Exactly. So then I think, like, maybe, I mean, a tip for me and you and, like, everyone is, like, that even when you said prove yourself wrong, I got overwhelmed. Because I was like, that's a lot. You know, to prove yourself wrong sounds like you're going up this hill with an avalanche going down. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
But proving yourself right is, like, always ask yourself the ideal person of who I want to be, that person.
Yeah.
What are they going to do in this situation?
Yeah.
And I think acting towards that person is proving yourself right.
Because that's a good way to word that.
And that can actually tie in with confidence.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I'm confident I'm going to be this girl. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be this guy.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to act in accordance to this guy.
Yeah.
And you're not idolizing anyone but yourself.
But yeah. If that's who you want to be, you can definitely do that as long as you are making those decisions to become whoever you want to be.
Because it's so easy to think about, oh, I'm proving myself right because I'm fucking lazy and I'm like, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, like, if you think about proving yourself right in terms of, like, no, I am going to be this person. Mm-hmm. Let me prove myself right in this very second. Like, you could argue, I could prove myself right now by being like, I'm tired and I need to, you know, I'm going to skip this assignment, or I'm going to skip this task. You're proving your ideal self wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In that perspective. So, like, it's just flipping it in a way.
It's just the wording. Like, it half the battle is honestly changing that mindset.
Yeah.
To make a more positive outcome, like, for your, like, tricking your mind, essentially.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it is just, like, getting up and actually doing it.
Yeah. And with confidence, like, you have to understand that there's this flipping of mindset requires delusion and requires like,
yes, you have to be delusional.
So like, it's like, it's gonna feel cringe, and that's the point of it, you know, like, yeah, that's the whole point of it.
Yeah, okay. I'm like, life is cringe, so yeah, might as well just
grab it by the puss.
Grab it by the puss. Grab it by the balls.
Okay, someone asked, what are things that you've had to unlearn growing up Asian in America?
In America, I feel like we can talk about this from like a
1,000,000%.
Like, yeah, from the southern region perspective. Yeah. Unlearning a lot. Oh my god. I think honestly I did myself a service and like unlearned this at like kind of a young age, like high school, even like middle school. But those little racist jokes are not fucking funny. Like when an Asian person will like make fun of
their own
ethnicity, like, or like, one that really stuck with me is like, oh, how did your parents, like, did your parents just toss a pot down the stairs to figure out your name? What the fuck? That's fucked up. Like, that's actually like, no, my parents actually combined their names to make my name. There was a lot of intention behind it. Fuck you.
Dude, I was just talking about this, like, in terms of, like, this was gonna sound so, like, that woke friend, but, yeah, like, not even on some, like, bullshit like that, uh-huh, but, like, I was just talking about how, like, the joke of, like, it's a happy A Pride month, everyone's gotta Venmo me. Yeah. My take is that saying happy AAPI month and saying stuff like that,
yeah,
is super fucking counterproductive.
Okay.
And I think it's because whenever you say something like, everyone's got to Venmo me, that is a joke that implies, like, unrealistic. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So then what you're saying is, I'm saying this joke because I know deep down that nothing's actually going to happen during AAPI month.
Damn.
That's what I truly believe.
I've never really, like, thought that
every single time that I see some shit like that, I'm like, cringe as fuck. Like, wait, you're so original, girl. Sorry, yeah, that was like rage filled. But I truly feel deeply about it because I think there's a true part of myself, like, where I am angry about myself about, like, this year I've tried to be more intentional with, mm-hmm, AAPI month, and like, I think in the past it was a very real part of performativeness with it, you know, like, yeah, I would post it on my story and I'd be like, I love being a Lumbino. Bitch, you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything. And, like, so much of the conversation is about, you know, like, I'm here, guys, Venmo me, like, whatever. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, yeah, can we talk about how, like, half of our fucking island's being raided by Israelis? Can we talk about, like, that shit?
It's such a surface-level joke. And it's, like,
it implies it's so deep-rooted. Unseriousness.
That's what
and,
it is.
And I think, like, I think there is a safe space where you can say, you know, with me and you, like, yeah, I'll be like, it's Pride Month, whatever, yeah. You know,
but like, but we're, I both know you,
a part of the, yeah, the community, right?
Exactly.
But I think when we say shit like that, it almost is like, guys, look, no one really cares about this thing. So like, fuck it. Venmo joke. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. Venmo joke moment.
Yeah. Holy Venmo moment.
So how do we get to this? So,
Oh, I said, unlearning, like,
oh yes, unlearning,
like, that's Asian jokes, because it's very like internal, like from that joke that I was like talking about, like the pot thing, it's very internalized.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah. And there's, I know, was a specific person that I went to high school with that would like try to get buddy buddy with me by making jokes at Asians and like, yeah, like doing like the slanted eye thing and like saying like all these crazy things. And even at the time I was like, this is fucking weird, but it's, yeah, because they were trying to please their white friends and like their white peers, like trying to make a joke out of like our community just to make a white person laugh. Oh my god.
If it's not like a white person, then you're just trying, you're low-key kind of giving like, I'm above this.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just with your Asian friends, you're saying, like, oh, these things don't affect me. It does, King.
Yeah.
It does, King, because guess what? While you got a promotion to get 20,000 more, another person got a promotion that isn't your skin color and got 60,000 more.
Yeah.
So it does affect you. And like, money is not everything. But, mm-hmm, guess what? That person now has $40,000 more to raise their kids.
Mm-hmm. It was just, like, a whole bunch of... It was more learning that, like, no matter how hard you try, you will never be white enough for your white 1,000%. Friends. 1,000%. Yeah, because, like, surface level stuff. That life to me stuff,
is so crazy.
Like, they will earn more money than you. Like, so, like, why would you feed into that?
That life of, like, I'm very grateful for this, and like I think there was a real part of my like rage where I had friends who always wanted to stay light, and then like they kind of changed into like, wait, I really like being tan, and like I'm realizing, and like I'm very grateful for that, and I think there is a part of me that has forgiveness for it, you know, but like I truly, I don't get it, and it's so miserable to like it's warm here now, and like. I mean, of course I'm wearing sunscreen. I'm doing all the things to like stay like healthy.
Yeah, to not get skin cancer. But, like, but
what a wonderful blessing it is to be outside.
Yeah.
And what a like genuinely like, wait, I'm gonna cry. Like what a genuinely like wonderful thing it is to be a human that can enjoy the sun, and it is in our blood that we are genetically able to like be one with the literal source of energy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like,
there is a sun on our flag. Like, we're Filipino. There's a sun on our flag for a reason, and the first thing that we do is put bleach soap so that we don't.
Which fucking wild to
like, me. Like, it's like, that's so wild. And like, so that leads me to my next thing that I unlearned, right? Like, I think growing up in Texas specifically, and like growing up also like queer, it was like, I never thought myself to be physically capable, like, or, like, physically, I could have physically excel in anything, right? And as I've grown up, like, so many of, like, my partners and, like, whatever have been like, whoa, you're, like, an athletic gay. You're, like, you're an athletic whatever. And I'm like, I've never considered myself to be athletic because I never considered myself to have that privilege, you know?
Yeah. I honestly think the same. But like, then, growing up, I feel like whenever I would, like, I never really grew up with sports, but like one time my uncle was like, whoa, you can like, you got an arm because you were like throwing around a football. But I think that's different because like I was told I couldn't do shit because I was a girl. We were playing
frisbee and you could throw a gag.
Thank you.
And I was like, and you know what? I was like, not surprised. I was like, of course you can.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I just kind of forget that. And like, I think growing up in Texas, again, it's like, the main sport is football, and like the main sport is what are blah 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 blah.
All these
and,
like, very those hyper masculine things
that
things.
Are very hyper masculine, and like of course a Filipino can be in football, but like I was gagging a hoe on the track field. You know what I'm saying? And like I was very much like first heat track kid, and I don't know why I still wasn't like able. And like I look back on it, and it's not even about comparing ourselves to other Asians, but like I truly thought about like, what other ethnicity, one, is naturally fantastic at singing, naturally fantastic at dancing, naturally funny? Like, a lot of my friends are like, I think Filipinos are the funniest people on the planet. And I'm like,
correct.
I actually truly agree.
I 1,000% agree. And like,
from a completely existential outside of world point of view, what a blessing it is to be born Filipino. You know,
I seriously appreciate it so much, just because like I don't know, our culture seems or is very just joyous. Like I feel like whenever I'm at like a Filipino party or just like meeting Filipino, like new Filipino people, I'm like, we already get each other at a friendship level that people have to go on like 3-4 friend dates
1 million,
to even achieve. And so I'm like, we're already there.
The island gals completely understand each other. And like I grew up in a predominantly Samoan and Filipino
in Cali
in the Bay. And like I mean, I can't speak for the Samoans, but I can speak on behalf of my community that I grew up alongside. Like, what a wonderful fucking group of people. You know, gossip is a thing, chismis is always gonna be a thing, but like, bitch, we were given nursing as our consequence of colonization. Like, and I'm not to say like any other trade is worse, but I like, we were given caretaking, the literal survival of people, and you know, soldiers and whatever. Like, that's a complex skill.
A very
complex skill. And we're like,
just so, I feel like just Filipinos are so naturally hospitable that it only makes sense that we would go into like a hospitable career where we could just like take care of as many people as we can. And there's literally like, do you know who Nurse John is on TikTok? He's a comedian, but he was like a nurse at like before he turned into like content creator.
Okay.
All of his TikToks are like
POV, you're a new nurse, and like a doctor's being mean to you. The first person to like back up that new nurse is like a Filipino a Filipino like 50-year-old woman who's been there for like 30 years. And so it's like, even if we're not like, even if you're not Filipino, I feel like there's still like a caretaking essence to, you know, our community. So it's just like, why would you not be proud?
1000%. And I mean, this is not to be on some sort of fucking like we are the supreme race type eugenic shit. Because we're not,
like, obviously there's faults in being Filipino.
I truly
Filipino
don't believe that,
like,
there will ever be a supreme race, and I think that's the best thing about being on Earth. But like, okay, which leads me to my next unlearning. Mm-hmm. I actually think that Filipino homophobic men are gay. I unlearned that they are just so super. I'm like, wait, most of them are gay. Like, so like, girl, that's for you.
Like,
to unpack.
Internalized,
yeah,
homophobia.
Just extreme, yeah.
Yeah.
There's things that bother you the most are the things that you see in yourself, right?
I think that goes for a lot of like homophobic men.
Yeah.
Like, your government officials that are screaming homophobic slurs and everything
are the one fucking kids in the Senate room.
Exactly. They're the ones going to jail.
Yeah.
So there's that.
And then I mean, I'm gonna keep going down the Filipino route, but I think something I've learned is like your parents' pride and confidence oftentimes is self-righteousness, and this is
pride
super like, I would say this is gonna get the fucking generation above us to kill me.
Okay,
but I think obeying your parents isn't always going to be the most productive thing for both of you. And I
that
think
is 10,000.
No, exactly.
True.
I think like, I'm not saying disobey. I'm very honest by saying I don't think disobey.
Yeah.
But I think, for example, if they say that you have to, you know, only... Oh, can't get tattoos. Great example.
Oh my God, guys. Can't I get have a tattoos. Fucking story to tell.
I think it's actually more productive. I don't think you should get a tattoo in retaliation. I think that's a very bad way to go about it.
Yeah,
because
that's like, it's being charged by...
yeah, and that's your loved one at the end of the day.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think a very productive thing would be like, don't get a tattoo for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
And just like here and there, like bring up like, hey, what is this about, like, tattoos that you don't like?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can literally lie and say, like, I don't think I want to get a tattoo.
Yeah.
But I just want to know, like, what's the reasoning for this?
Yeah.
Because I think where colonization kind of has its claws on the Filipinos and, like, third world countries is that they offer universities with, like, all the hard skills in the world that pay a lot. Mm-hmm. But they don't offer the critical thinking education of it all.
Yeah.
So then... us, gratefully, as Asian Americans, can offer that critical thinking skill where it's like, hey, why is this? And, like, have you, like, what... So, if that's the case, what do you think about, like, stick and poke from, like, traditional Filipino...
Yes,
food?
Because...
And then it opens their mind to other things.
We are island gals. Like, yeah. I feel like when you go back in, like, historical texts, we were getting tattoos to represent tribes, to represent our families.
Tattoos were a sign of obedience and loyalty to family. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, literally. Okay, so, like that ape.
No, exactly. And so I think that's something I have to unlearn. Like, there is a true amount of, like, self-righteousness that comes with it. And a lot of times going back to the C word, goes back to colonization. Like,
exactly.
Why do people not like tattoos? Because the Catholic Church doesn't like tattoos.
Yes.
And then, but like, is Catholicism your religion or is it your colonizer's religion?
That
and
part.
So it's like, I'm not saying like any of these things are necessarily wrong. And I think I'm not saying being Catholic is wrong. I'm not saying any of that is necessarily wrong. But I think to obey blindly your parents...
Mm-hmm.
Is expecting perfection out of them.
Yeah.
And that is 1000% going to disappoint you.
Yeah, because no one is perfect.
Yeah. So like,
no one is perfect. You are not perfect. Your parents aren't perfect. And it's like just kind of unfair to yourself to be like, oh, I really want this thing, but my parents aren't gonna let me have it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just gonna live in a shell and I'm just gonna
yeah
do what my parents want. Okay, guys, strap in.
strap the fuck in. This hits very hard to hard close to no, home. Yeah, okay, because
so this tattoo story.
Why are we focusing on tattoos? Well, it's because I have one. I got one in 2022.
Yeah.
And I was of age. And it wasn't until recently where my parents found out. And the reason why I lied is for my own safety, genuinely. Yeah. Just because I wanted to, like, keep the peace. But basically, what happened was my mom sent in this graphic, this Facebook informative graphic. The vibes.
Like,
you POV, know what it looks like. Like,
POV your parent, you're in your Filipino family group chat, and then you see this, like, Facebook link, and you know it's gonna be some fuck shit, dude.
It was some fuck shit. It was like saying all these lies about how tattoos can like harm your internal body. That can like seep into your blood system, and like it was just like crazy.
It'll get in your semen, and then you'll squirt out an inked baby.
Yes, it wasn't that, but it was like crazy, crazy shit. And 8:30 a.m. And my mom was like, "Aren't you glad that we made a boundary on this? Thank you for obeying." And I hate the word obeying. I really, really do. It's something that I grew up hearing constantly at home and at church. And so I've just always hated the word. And my sister also hates that word. And at like 8:37, 7 minutes after my mom sent this, she sent, "This is all text. I have a tattoo."
Your sister's a fucking diva.
And I was like, I woke up.
You know what I hear when she said that?
What?
"I have a tattoo. 365 party girl bum and that. 365 party girl bum
and
that."
No, like, and that is genuinely how it felt. And so I woke up.
Yeah.
I woke up and I was just like, "Oh, okay,
a fucking bomb was dropped in the family chat." Girl, while you're getting that, my fucking uncle is being like, "Philippians 5, 6, 7.
Girl, trust. My mom is sending that.
And
as
it's like,
well,
gay people should burn until they burn like bacon. And I'm like, okay, girl, what the fuck is going
okay,
on?
Okay, right. And so my mom said, in Bisaya, it roughly translates to like LOL. It was like a play on words where she used the word tattoo, but it was basically like, "I'm going to spank you," crying, laughing emoji. And so then I felt the need to say, "Me too." As in, I have a tattoo as well. Because me
bitch,
and my sister...
like, you're fucking so petty, bitch. You're so petty.
Me and my sister, that
Mom
tattoo...
Mom says, "I'm gonna cry." Me too.
That tattoo is a matching one with my sister, and it means a lot to me because I got it for my birthday. I'd been thinking about it for, like, honestly, over a year. So then we kind of, like, move on in the conversation, and I'm texting my sister, like, one-on-one, and I'm like, "Should we just tell Mom that we actually have a tattoo?" And my sister was like, "I mean, yeah, like, let's do it." My sister is like, she's 27 and she's like going off to med school and she's like doing all these wonderful things. She's very separated from my family, like financially. She has not many ties to them. And so then she's like, "Are you cool if I send in the photo of us getting the tattoo together?" And I was like, "Girl, fuck it, why not?" So she sends it in and she's like, "Denny and I have matching sister tattoos. They are flowers." And then proceeds to send a picture of an acai bowl after.
Yeah.
Literally in the same text. And then my mom said, "Tell me right now, is this legit or AI? I'm not kidding." And we're both like,
and you know what? That's a critical thought if I've ever heard one.
Like,
work.
What do you
she kind of gagged on that.
What do you mean she knows about AI?
Yeah. What's she know about fucking...
Meanwhile, she's putting in a chat GPT, "Make Milo my Shih Tzu dog dance. Do this TikTok dance."
You're kidding.
Girl, I'm not joking.
This, okay, anyways.
See, so anyway, so then I'm like, "It's real." Me and my sister are both like, "It's real." And it really started this whole text thread of where my mom was like, basically punishing us verbally and being like, "I can't believe you guys were dishonest with me." My mom is like, "Clearly the reason that you guys did this is because you were so young and this isn't an adult decision. You obviously did this in high school." And my sister goes, "Okay, thumbs up emoji, I'm 27. And then I'm like, I tattoos have different meaning at the time, different meaning for everyone. At the time, it was one for me and my sister got one because we wanted to get matching tattoos for each other. We're adults and we made our own adult decisions. So then my mom was like, I can't believe you were so dishonest with us. Like, next time, please tell me, like, when you're gonna, like, if you're thinking about making an impulse decision. And I was like, okay. And then I go, okay, well, I'm thinking about getting a mango tattoo. Oh, Tuska, which was fucking... honestly, it wasn't the right thing to say at the moment. I understand that now.
That's what you fucking sound like.
But I was so petty. I was like, okay, you want me to be honest? I'm getting a tattoo next week. Which, honestly, I have been thinking about for
that was a long time. Your mama is on the verge of fucking hanging herself. And you're like... I'm gonna get mango tattoo.
And I'm like, I'm gonna get mango tattoo, and it's actually gonna be in the shape. It's gonna be fucking huge.
It's gonna be a mango tattoo, and you're gonna have penis on it.
And then there's gonna be a rainbow flag inside the mango.
And there's gonna be a mango, and it says, I had sex before marriage.
She goes, you wasted ink, and the tattoo's ugly.
No, here's the thing, guys. I also know, I love her. Like, no,
my mom is great. She's a very nice woman. Her mom has low-key taken
me as like one of her sons.
Yes, and my mom loves.
I was raised completely different. My mom is like, let's go red with the hair. And like,
I know. Meanwhile, when I dyed my hair purple, fuck a
man, no man.
When I dyed my hair purple, my mom cried.
She was like, she didn't like it.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
It was chopped.
It wasn't chopped. No, I'm kidding.
It was poor hay purple, actually. Okay.
So then she was like, ugh, the tattoo's ugly too. You should have just placed your initials. That might compensate how much you paid.
She said, ooh, like the mathematical definition of beauty is not gagging on this.
Imagine she's like, where you should have placed what?
Well, your tattoo?
It's on my hip.
Okay, it's on your hip.
So I strategically placed it so that she couldn't see it unless you take off my underwear. So then this whole thing kind of gets dissolved, kind of. My dad calls my sister.
Not the tattoo though, hello.
No, tattoos here to stay. My sister gets a call from my dad. My dad has read the entire text thread, calls my sister, and he's like, what did y'all do? And my sister's like, wait, why? And he goes, mom's crying. And my sister said she could hear her in the background crying, sniffling. And my sister was like, we did nothing. And then my dad was like, lol, okay. I land in Seattle on the... He's making plans to like go hang out with her.
He's like, I'm about to... Is there a good tattoo artist in Seattle?
So then, this is new. So then, my sister is currently in Philly, and she's like planning on visiting my parents in Virginia, and she's trying to make plans with my parents and like visiting with her boyfriend. And so she goes, "Hey, we were thinking about taking a bus to visit this weekend. Is that good with you guys?" And then my dad's like, sure. And then my mom doesn't reply, and so she asks my mom. She goes, mom, what do you think? And then my mom is like, okay, like very, whatever. And then my dad was like, okay, I'm off this Saturday. Can you and your boyfriend drive mom to a tattoo shop?
A Filipino man will stir the pot. Yeah, and you know what? Your dad is like an enigma.
Oh my god, I'm funny like that, man. He said, when you guys get here, drop mom to a tattoo shop.
Okay, y'all shut her up, essentially.
And then my mom texts back. Meanwhile, they're standing right next to each other. My mom goes, at dad, really? ... And I was like,
your mom texts back with a picture of her with a gunpoint to his head.
It's a learning moment for my parents. I am not really that much different of a person as I was 4 years ago in the eyes of my parents. Like, I still have good morals. I still keep great people around me. And that's honestly what you should just care about with your kids nowadays. Like, as long as they're safe and... Just being safe. Like, that's literally exactly. It.
I mean, you guys are old. Like, if my kid got a tattoo when he was 16, I'd be like, fucking idiot.
Yes. I'd be like... Who forged that signature, man?
No.
It wasn't me. I didn't sign off
on
that.
If my kid got some shit like that, I would send what your mom sent. Ink would get in your blood and infect your brain. And
No. But I'm 24 years old. Yeah, true. I paid for the tattoo.
So, anyways, just to finish this question, my last unlearning is that I am sexy.
Yeah, growing up Asian in America or just like in the South, you feel chopped. Like, you feel chopped because people are telling you you're chopped.
No, exactly.
But you're not.
You guys, let's all put our right hand up and say, I am not.
Am not.
Chud.
Chud.
Period.
Okay.
Next question. Someone asked, hey, Clarence, one of my girlies is falling for a man who's been hitting on her for the past month. I'm love afraid that. Because he's only dated Asian girls as a white guy that he has a fetish. I don't know how or if I should even bring it up. Any advice?
I say 1,000 bring it up to your friend. If you are aware that that this guy has an Asian fetish, you have to protect your friend.
Okay, gut instinct for me when I go through this, and I can't tell you really like exact professional advice on this, is look at their history.
Yeah.
If you know any of the girls, girl, just ask. Let's ask the audience.
Let's ask the audience.
And like, did they leave damaged because they didn't feel seen? Boom, he has a fetish.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Yeah.
And I also think, like, red flags just from, like, growing up in Texas is, like, how quickly do they bring up the race in their relationship? Like, yeah. If it's instant, then it's, like, girl, red fucking flag, run.
Yeah.
I also think that, obviously, the obvious things of, like, if he only watches anime and only listens to K-pop. And,
yeah, like I'm what sorry, does that's his, a fetish. What does his room look like? Who, yeah. If he's listening to K-pop, what groups does he listen yeah. to? Like, that all kind of plays into who he is as a, if he has an Asian fetish. At that point, if your friend recognizes it, I'd just be like, girl, run. Like, I seriously, run. I think on
the other end as well, if he assumes, like, family values and like certain things about your family, like mm-hmm. dynamics and shit, that's a fetish. Here's my fucking hot takes.
Wait, example, like, what do you mean?
If he just immediately assumes that like you get good grades and like you're smart and your parents are strict and all that,
yeah,
I don't think that's a man trying to understand you. I think that's a man imposing his beliefs and
yes,
like, fuck that. Like, that's weird. True. Like, that's weird. Don't try to fucking play that colonizer card yeah. on me either. Like, fuck you. Like, that's ew, weird.
That is, oh my god, that is so disgusting.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Oh my god, I have been in like low key that position.
You've been fetishized?
I feel like it's kind of hard not. Like, where we grew up.
Like, you've dated someone who had a fetish?
No, because I clocked it immediately.
I know what you're talking about.
I clocked it immediately. Yeah.
I don't think I've. My university. My university. Yes,
because you were in the Midwest.
I was in the Midwest in Indiana, and apparently there was, like, this list. Crazy, right? Crazy.
A list of what? Guys who fetishizes like, Asians?
Like, bottom boys at their business school. I'm not kidding. White men are fucking crazy, and of course it was white men. Closeted frat boys. I know, right?
Straight out of the movie. What the fuck?
I don't even want to bring it up because, like, girl, I rebuke. I repent that shit.
Yuck! That's so nasty.
Yeah. But I think, like, I think you should bring it up.
Bring it up, because as a friend, that's, like, that's your duty.
For me, it's all about their history. I'm so sorry. If it's only been Asian, it's not a preference.
Yeah, I can only help but think that he, like, if it's not you, then it's the Asian girl next to you.
Because I myself am Asian, and I am attracted to Asians, but I have dated non-Asians because I have truly felt wooed by their personality. I've just genuinely thought they were hot. Like, yeah. I was like, period. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm Asian and I do that.
Yeah.
If you are not Asian and then you're doing that,
yeah,
you're fucking weird. You're fucking weird.
You are weird.
You are fucking weird. Do you think if someone only watches anime and only watches K-pop, they have a fetish? I think 90% if they grew up in America. But if you grew up in Japan or grew up in Korea, that's a whole different thing.
If they only watch anime and they won't even think about watching whatever with me. Ooh, that's kind of hard because I feel like anime and like K-pop are more popular now. So like, who's not watching anime? Who's not listening to K-pop? Girl. But at the heart of it all, I'm like, if you refuse to do anything else, then I'm like, okay.
Okay, buddy. Pack it up.
Yeah.
Daiso, shoot him.
Uniqlo, get him.
Go full fucking water breathing four on that bitch. Like, fuck that. Attack that titan.
Yeah. Attack that titan, bitch.
Open up the schools for this bitch, My Hero Academia.
Whoa, crazy as someone that doesn't even watch MNJ. Whoa.
Someone said, best ways to heal from your ex as a Filipino lover boy or lover girl. I'm just going to say this from like a lover boy or lover girl. Okay. I think Filipinos oftentimes are lover boys or lover girls.
What is defining someone as a lover boy or lover girl?
I think that's actually very social media. Let's look it up.
Yeah, because I think that people just coined the term. And to me, I'm just like, if you have the capability to love, then you're a lover girl or a lover boy.
Okay, I got you. A lover boy. This is from the source. Girl, it's slang, so it's social media.
Of course it is. Yeah, it's not like there's no definition. A lover boy is a
term that usually describes a highly romantic, flirtatious, or affectionate man. This had kill to be a patriarchal fucking term.
Fucking kill
this
me.
This had to be some like man who was like uncomfortable with expressing his emotions, and then one of his guys pulled a baddie because he was affectionate and loving towards her, and then he's like, he's a fucking lover boy, weak ass pussy. That's what my guess is.
That makes total sense.
I love a lover girl and a lover boy. I love
a lover girl and lover boy too, but I think the term is kind of like, in to me, has sort of like a negative sense. It's kind of like cringe almost to call yourself a lover girl. Yeah, to call yourself like a lover girl or a lover boy, I'm just like, that honestly it just seems kind of normal to me. Again, I'm like, you just have the capability of loving someone. Whoopee.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, look at me. Ooh, I can love someone. I'm a lover girl. Shut the fuck up. Like, seriously, okay. Shut the fuck up.
That being said, I definitely think I'm a lover boy. No, dude, I
this
am.
Is BTS's fault.
No, are you kidding?
This is BTS's fault. Boy with love, kill yourself.
Boy with love, yeah. Star Spangled Banner, boy with love. That's my national anthem.
I was like, wait, where are you going with that?
Okay, I'm going to answer this because I understand the sentiment of this. It's like, oh, this must mean you're very heartbroken. If you had to include that you are lover boy or lover girl healing from your ex.
Okay, yeah. At the heart of it all, someone has been broken up with, and I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, guys, it's been 2 years since. And immediate advice I have for breaking up.
Yeah.
Is you have to eat breakfast and you have to eat lunch and you have to eat dinner.
That's actually really good.
That is my immediate advice.
When I went through a really difficult breakup, and it wasn't even something that I was dating. I was literally, it was like a situationship. I didn't eat for like...
It's hard to.
It's just you forget. And like, I couldn't really stomach anything because like... Yeah. I don't know. I was just thinking. I was just too in my head the time about it.
And let me, for those of you who like to dig yourself even deeper, let me tell you to shut up. Because you are physically damaging your body for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
If you are in the most trauma you've ever been in. I'm talking like first heartbreak ever.
Yeah.
And on top of your body going through so much trauma.
Yeah.
Your stomach is digesting itself.
Yes.
You are fucked for life.
Yes.
So, if you're gonna be sad, at least be sad
on a full stomach.
On a stomach.
Yes.
You know, like, I think that was my first thing. I was just eating lunch, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm saying this not from a place that's out of touch, I promise, because I'm saying this from a place of complete understanding.
Yes.
To the core, guys. Like, my top songs of Spotify of all time were the Eternal Sunshine album, the entire one.
Mm-hmm.
If you skip breakfast at 11 a.m you're going to feel whatever pain that you were going to feel about being heartbroken times 10, because you are hungry.
Yeah, it's a physical hurting now. Like, you can emotionally hurt, but if you're not feeding yourself, your body will just eat itself.
Yeah, and I think if you are embarrassed to say that you are not eating, that's the first step. Like, I know not everyone has this, and like, I really hope that everyone could in an ideal world, but like, I luckily had friends bring me lunch, you know, and like, because there is a real reality where you don't have the energy to even lift up the oil to put it on a pan, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes some people don't have the financial means to, like, DoorDash all the time. So,
yeah.
My advice is, in terms of all the things of survival, include your friends in it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't rely on them. But I think just here and there, it's a great reminder that you're not alone and your cup has been filled prior to this person, you know?
Yeah.
That's my main advice. And like,
honestly, I think that my advice is like to rely on your friends, because yeah. I feel like when I went through a really difficult breakup, I was very like, oh, I don't want to burden anyone with
anything,
with like my emotional baggage. And then my friends were like, where are you? Like, they would be talking to me and I would just be like, yeah, no, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they'd be like, you need to talk to someone about yeah. this, like, it should be your friends. And so like, I that was something that I had to learn coming out of a like a really bad breakup, that like your village is your village. Yeah, they're there to take care of you.
Whoa.
I'm heartbroken.
But yeah, I mean, your friends are going to be there for you, because that's what friends are for.
Yeah.
Like, I would also say, like, say yes to everything. I know, like, people say that all the fucking time, but it did genuinely help me.
Like, I look back on, like, that time of my life where it was, like, so extremely painful. And I don't... There's no formula to it, I don't think.
Yeah,
like,
everyone heals a different way. I did all the wrong things
and mm-hmm. I ended up okay, and like,
yeah,
I don't think there's going to be correct advice. So that's why my advice just kind of stemmed on your physiological being.
Like, yeah,
just eat.
Yeah, and eating is very, very important, because like, it's like one of the last things that you think about.
Yeah, and like, just make sure that that bottom line, and not to bring the fucking Maslow pyramid back into this, but the hierarchy of needs, like, make sure that the bottom is just checked off. Like, mm-hmm. it's okay to hoe out. Like,
yeah.
That might be self-righteous for me to say, fuck mm-hmm. it. And like, I undeniably did, and like, I think I had my own lashings of a way, and like,
yeah.
I literally left the country for like 2 months, right?
Yeah.
But I think in everything, like the sexcapades and all that, make sure that the bottom tier is still being covered.
Yeah.
Get tested.
Yeah.
Use protection.
Like, yeah.
Some of these things, when you're so broken, it's like, well, fuck. Like, fuck it. Like, fuck it. I'll just be irresponsible. And like, that's not how it is, because that's selfish.
Yeah.
Like, you do still have people who love you. And like,
yeah.
you don't want to put your friends through the stress of you having some sort of malnourishment
mm-hmm.
or having some sort of like sexually transmitted illness, like
yeah.
that was easily avoidable, you know? And
yeah.
so that is my only advice, truly.
Yeah.
Like, make sure all those are covered, and like that your career is like
mm-hmm.
still feeding a part of you, you know?
Yeah, like, you just have to take care of yourself
yeah.
in the best way that you know how.
And my last piece of advice is, if and when or whenever you choose to fall in love again, like, those things will come back up
mm-hmm.
and it is only beneficial for you to work on yourself throughout it.
Yeah,
but you don't need to be perfect for the next person.
Absolutely.
You just need to,
not
you just need to have a sense of self again. And mm-hmm. That's really it. Like, I think a lot of people are like, I'm so heartbroken, I don't want to put that on another person. But like, the amount of people that you walk by on the daily in New York City, or like the amount of people you drive by, there's a good chance that at least 10 of the people you walk by are heartbroken.
Yeah.
Or going through some relationship shit.
Yeah.
So like,
we're all just going
through
it.
We're all in it together, you know?
Yeah.
Someone asked, hey guys, I'm Filipino and my parents are super conservative. It's a bit embarrassing and I don't know how to bring it up because it makes me feel unsafe in the household. Any tips?
Would you say that you grew up more conservative?
I grew up in the church.
And is that the only like conservative tie that you kind of have?
My friends, I think, also back then were like low-key, like they were saying,
I'm socially liberal but basically conservative. And I was like, oh, so you're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You don't think those two are hand in hand? Stupid bitch.
Hopefully they've grown up and realized.
Yeah, I heard this thing from... I learned that in SoCal, like, people... And I really hate this, and I'm going to say this about SoCal, and I really hate this, mm-hmm. like, really bad. And this behavior, I frown upon it.
What?
I heard that if your parents are, like, Trumpies, you as a kid, whether you're Trumpy or not, will get canceled.
Canceled?
Like, everyone will be like, oh, your parents are Trumpy. We can't be friends with you. And that, like, breaks my heart.
That does as,
like,
make me...
Texan in yeah. the middle of it all, you know? Like,
yeah.
And, like, I grew up in NorCal, too. And, like, I think that, to me, was so, like... I felt hopeless hearing that. Because it's like... You guys aren't even giving someone who is in the perfect situation to swing a loved one to a side of, like, understanding and compassion.
Yeah.
They are the person that we actually need to include.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, like, if we're talking numbers and whatever, like, that's exactly who we need to reach.
Like, I think age kind of plays into this, because I feel like when you're a kid and, like... My parents were like, oh, this person voted for... I didn't really grow up that much conservative from my dad's side. But I feel like my parents were like, oh, this person voted for this person. And I automatically had an image of, like, whoever my friend was. But if you're in your grown age and saying that about someone, I think that is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I think if someone individually has proven that they truly are, like... an ally to all the causes that are actually important, and, like, all of that, to diminish them to their parents' beliefs is quite inhumane.
Yeah.
I think it's actually unethical.
Yeah.
And, like, the first thing I think is, like, when I read this question is, like, I think it does go back to, like, it is only your worst interest to condemn your parents in a way that's, like, especially if you're Asian, because there's, like, treating your elders with respect is, like, the utmost golden rule, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think this goes back to, like, in casual loving moments, like, asking.
Yeah.
And bringing up things like, hey, I saw this thing about, you know, this thing happening in this country, or I see this happening in the Philippines. Can I get y'all's thoughts on this?
Yeah,
and, like, what is this?
Brain,
and, like, it's like, you can say, like, truly be honest, like, this made me feel sad. And, like, from my perspective, it is this. So what is this? And I think just, like, there is nothing more productive than a conversation.
Absolutely.
Within your family, right?
Yeah.
Our action is obviously the most productive thing. But I think with your family, it's undeniably going to start with a conversation. And, like, I feel for you in this question, because, like, I mean, I just said maybe the reason why the SoCal thing pisses me off so bad is because I, unfortunately, like, I will just be honest and say, like, I grew up with an amazing mom.
Mm-hmm.
Soup has voted in all the ways that I've only dreamed, and, like, has represented my best interests and her best interests as a mother. But I, unfortunately, do have, like, distant relatives who maybe don't root for my best interests in terms of my own survival and, like, my own rights in a way, you know, like, even their own daughter's rights, like, and I think that is something where if someone, like, came to me and said, fuck you because this person in your family, and I was like,
you don't even know me,
I would just be like, well, imagine how it feels like if you're blood related to them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's just so bizarre, because, like, this person, if this person doesn't know anything about you, it's like, you're judging me so aggressively when you haven't even got to know me, but it, like, tells me everything I need to know about you.
Because there's so much going on in my brain, and I think, like, if you guys can, like, give me just, like, a little bit of, you know, deep type shit, like, there is, like, wait, I'm gonna cry. Like, there is, like, not a day that goes by where I, like, think about my relatives.
Yeah.
Who, like, raised me. And, like, low-key has, like, a mom. Like, because my mom's a single mom. So, like, I had, like, fill-in aunties and titos, like, come in. And, like, when I think about how they vote, it, like, makes me doubt that they ever really, like, you know, truly, like...
care about you,
loved me as a kid, you know. And, like, that was low-key my entire sense of self, like, realizing how much
apologize, it's
how much,
like,
I was a kid, and I was like, whoa, like, you guys look at that kid and, like, really think that he shouldn't have been happy, like, And I know that there's more complexities to that, and like they don't understand that, you mm-hmm. know, like I truly can't come to terms with the fact that they would look at that kid and say something so hurtful, you know?
Yeah.
But like when I hear like other people just immediately put on that judgment, I've never felt that, by the way, from mm-hmm. other people, right? But like just knowing that that's a concept
mm-hmm.
is really sad. Like it's extremely dismissive, and like I think anyone who, you know, obviously doesn't root for, I would say, the side that is unempathetic and like is unable to do that, is like there's a lot going on in their brain, mm-hmm. you know, because we've done the critical thinking to get to this conclusion of this is how I want to vote and this is how I want to be, you know.
Yeah.
So to like kind of diminish that is a bit frustrating, and like I think anyways, sorry, back to this question, I was like, this is something I need to work on as yeah. well. Like I talk about it with my mom, but the productivity is not really that efficient because it's not directly with who is actually doing the hurting, you know?
Yeah.
And deep down, like, I know that's the right thing to do. It's so scary. And, like...
Yeah, it is.
It's like, I don't want to have that conversation because what if that love is cut off? But I think at the same time, I'm an adult.
Yeah.
I do not rely on you in any way.
Yeah.
And my happiness in life and my cup will still be filled without you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, obviously, that's not the ideal situation. Yeah. You know, you just want to be loved and you want to be seen. And so, like, I mean, if this is any, like, advice, like, I feel like a hypocrite giving you guys advice mm-hmm. because, like, I can't, it's hard for me to do it. But I think more and more as I'm aging, I'm recognizing it to be something that is so extremely important and so extremely hurtful. Yeah,
absolutely. You know?
And if I mean, this is not a sob story for me because I will change this and mm-hmm. I will stand on that. But I mean, it does hurt more the longer you wait.
For exhibit sure. A.
So like maybe for that's sure. some advice. Like just save yourself the hurt and just get it over with. And,
yeah.
And like just start the conversation, you know, mm-hmm. like that's like something where that's my only advice on that. I'm sorry, I can't give you guys like the best.
No,
you know?
And honestly, I think that like right now it's so difficult to give advice. I feel like correct advice. I feel like I did kind of grow up with conservative ideas from my parents just because like we grew up like a heavily in the church, and I think it was like conversations like that changed my parents' mind essentially. Like even as like a young kid, I remember when gay marriage was
so taboo, legalized,
we were sitting in a Chili's or like an Applebee's, yeah. And then
perfect
like
place to be, by the way,
period. we were talking about like it happened, I think, like when we were in middle school, yeah. Right? And a bunch
Obama
of kids were talking about
elementary
it.
Elementary school.
A bunch of kids were talking about it, and there were and people, the kids were like, "No, gay marriage isn't right," and I was like, "No, it totally is." And so I found the people who were like, "No, we agree, like it definitely is." And my friend, I remember at the time, was like, we should just care if people are happy. That really is. That yeah. is really just what it is. And so later on when I was like hanging out with my family at the restaurant, my sister was like, "Dad, what do you think about this? It's like so crazy." And I don't fault my sister at all for it because we were young. But my dad was like, "I don't know. Like to me right now, it just like kind of goes against the church." And I said, I was like, "No, I just think that people should just be happy." And then my parents were like, "What?" And my sister was like, "You seriously believe that?" And I was like, "Why would I not?" And then there was like other conversations where
pork bitch.
I know,
ally to the core.
No,
you're fine.
Ally to the core. No, because
no,
I
to the core actually.
No, it's a little too hard to the core.
To the cooch.
And so there was like there's other moments where like my sister grew up like thinking that like gay marriage was wrong, and like my siblings grew up like that. And there was like this one instance where my sister was like, we were setting up the table, and my sister was like, "Aren't you glad that none of us are like gay, yeah. Dad?" And my dad was like, he didn't really say anything.
Gay,
yeah.
Dad?
No, she was like, "Dad, aren't you glad that none of us are turned out gay?" And then I got really sweaty because obviously, like, I was like, I like girls. Like, one of my first crushes was on a girl.
Yeah.
And so I literally remember Nikki Zvanya did it for me. I remember sitting up the table and my hands were shaking because I was like, fuck, I'm scared that someone's gonna ask me if I like girls. And yeah. No one did, but it's things like that where I'm like, fuck, I wish I should have said something at 11. But
like, now, what a blessing it is now that, like, now for your kids,
yeah, if your kid comes out as a coochie muncher, like, you're like,
munch that coochie.
Yeah, now my parents are like, later down the road, my dad was like, no, gay marriage is right. And my sister was like, is it really? And my dad was like, of course it is. And so my mom, even like whenever I talk about like my gay friends, or like my mom will be like, how's Clarence doing? Like, mm-hmm. Is his relationship good? And I was like, yeah, it's going great. And so it's just like, even though it took from middle school up until now, like I'm 24, the conversation can be as long as it has to be, yeah. As long as your parents, like, or as long as your loved ones come to some sort of understanding as to where you're coming from.
I think with that, it's like, think about if that didn't happen.
Yeah.
You'd be 24 and still there would no progress ever made.
Exactly. Right? And I would
probably be more scared. And is that a life that you would rather have or not? And like, again, it just goes back to like, would you regret it? Right? Like, on your deathbed, would you regret it? Right? And I think we all know the answer to that. So I'm not going to like push that too hard.
For sure.
Like, yeah, I think that's like, just start the conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's my only advice. And I like, that's really all it can be.
Yeah.
And I know it takes a lot of balls, but I think, you know, so many things are happening in the world that are negative and positive.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe bring up one of those in like a very casual way. Make it approachable, because God knows they need something approachable.
Yeah.
And then just go from there.
Yeah. You know? Lots of hand holding when you're talking to like your parents or like an older generation or like a distant relative. Yeah.
And whereas like they don't have the skills for hand holding a conversation, what a blessing it is that we do, you know? Yeah. So utilize that skill. Show that you can be open-minded to both of it, you know. And I feel like that's my only piece of advice. Like, if we are mature, use that maturity to your advantage.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Okay, guys, I think that's the end of today's episode.
It is.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and we just appreciate having these little sit-down conversations. I know a lot of this was Filipino, but God knows, like, We're not very different. Like, a lot of us are not very different.
Yeah. I bet a lot of you can definitely relate, even if you're not Asian. Like,
Mi gente Latino. Consamida.
Juseyo.
Je m'appelle French.
Michoue.
Wait, fuck. Je m'appelle Clarence.
Sorry, cap.
Damn. Microaggressions to end the podcast is crazy.
We're saying
Pan Express.
That's not what I said.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode, and we hope that if any of these questions are something that you're struggling with your friends, like, maybe share this with them, because I think these are all questions that we've gone through or are going through. And so even if our advice is do shit on a platter, poo-poo platter,
tell us, like,
then at least they know that there's two other bitches going through it with them. Because it's about representation of being Asian and representation of going through some bullshit. Other than that, join our Discord. We have like a place to, like, you know, talk through shit. It's called the therapy couch.
That thing is always popping. It's all about discussion. You know people will be there giving advice.
Join the Discord if you're 16 and up, and we live stream every other Tuesday, so like, you guys can play games with us. And I'll chest out.
And I live stream Wednesday and Thursday.
Yes. And we're gonna say bye like we normally do. If you are listening to it, or if you're watching this on YouTube, the extended version of this episode will be on audio. So you can go to any of your audio streaming platforms. It's all there. We're gonna say bye like we normally do in our respective language. And thank you guys again for listening. And just like being a fucking dope ass person who wants to learn shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Isa. Dalawa. Hello.
Inga. I was yours for the taking. Guess I needed a home. But if I'm
yeah.
I listened to this recently.